Pretty sure that's going to get stuck on my microphone if I leave it there. Anyone who wants to become a covenant member here at DFBC has to take our membership class, although it's actually not really a membership class. It's just a class that you have to take in the process of becoming a member. But really, anyone can take this class, whether you want to become a member or not. You see, the point of the class is simply to tell people, to educate people about the church, about who we are at DFBC, about the history of our church, about what it is that we believe at DFBC. We go through our statement of faith. And then about how it is that we do things here at DFBC, our leadership and governing and committee structures here at the church. Now, if you happen to be curious about membership, to become a member at DFBC, you do have to take that class and then give testimony to the fact that you are a baptized believer and then affirm to agree to our statement of faith as well as our membership covenant. But back to the class. This is a four-week class that I get to teach with Ed. We get to do it together, and that's kind of fun. Ed teaches about who we are. Ed teaches about how we do things here at the church. And I get to teach about what it is that we believe. And that's something that I really enjoy getting to do. And as I do that, one of the things that we talk about in that class is about the church, about what we believe about the church. And I give the following definition of the local church. The local church is a community of regenerate believers who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. In obedience to Scripture, they organize under qualified leadership. They gather regularly for worship and edification. They observe the biblical sacraments of baptism and communion, are unified under the Spirit, are disciplined for holiness, and scattered to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission as missionaries to the world for God's glory and their joy. Now, that is a pretty dense, pretty complex definition, but I think that it really gets at the key aspects of what it means to be the church. In the class, or in the course of the class, we usually spend a few minutes looking at each of those phrases and what it means and what it looks like here at DFBC. Well, today we're going to focus on just one of those phrases. In fact, we're going to focus on just one half of one of those phrases. Because this morning, I want to talk about baptism. This morning, I want to talk about the meaning and the significance of baptism. And in doing so, I'm going to try to answer three questions for you about baptism. First, what is baptism? Secondly, how do we do baptism here at DFBC? Third, why do we do baptisms here at DFBC? And at the end, we're going to baptize somebody who's part of our church family here at DFBC. So I want to invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can grab one of the red Bibles that's in the chair either in front of you or behind you. And if you're using one of our red Bibles, we're going to be on page 1751, Romans chapter 6. So what is baptism? Simple question. And the most straightforward answer to it, I think, is baptism is a public demonstration of a person's commitment to follow Jesus. It is an outward sign to everybody, whether to other Christians or to those who are not Christians, that we have made the inward decision to follow Jesus as our rescuer and king. And so in that sense, it is a visible sign of an invisible reality. It's a ceremony that we do in public to signify that a profound inner and unseen change has happened inside of us. The Bible tells us, as we look at the Bible and what it teaches us about baptism, the Bible tells us that the ceremony of baptism signifies several important things, and I'm going to highlight two of them this morning. First, baptism signifies our identification and union with Jesus. Specifically, it signifies our identification with Jesus in both his death and in his resurrection. So if you've got your Bible open to Romans 6, look at verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So in baptism, a person is lowered into the water just as Jesus was lowered into the grave. Then a person is raised up out of the water just as Jesus was raised up out of death. But this is not just a symbolic reenactment of this event. There is more to it than that. You see, in baptism, we are acknowledging that something profound has happened to us when we became a Christian. Because Jesus died for our sins, we have died to our slavery to sin. It is no longer our master. And because Jesus not only died for our sins, he also rose from the dead, we too have been given a new life, a new spiritual life. The Apostle Paul describes this new life in Galatians 2:20. There he writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so Paul here he's describing a new way of living, a way of living that turns away from old values and habits and patterns and follows Jesus instead. This is a life of faith, faith that following Jesus is not just the right way to live, but that it is also the very best way that we can live, a way of living that shows the world that Jesus is our true rescuer king. And so in baptism, we are identifying with Jesus and his new way of living life. One of my seminary professors has a way of explaining it that I think is actually really helpful, or was certainly very helpful for me in terms of understanding baptism and what exactly it is. He says that baptism is to the Christian life as a wedding is to the married life. So in a wedding, a couple expresses and confirms before God, family, and friends that they are joining in a marriage covenant with each other. Just about a month ago, many of you were here to witness Sarah and Jason doing that. But that ceremony is really the public confirmation of the covenant commitment that they had already made to each other. Well, similarly, a baptism is the public expression and confirmation before God, family, and friends that someone is a follower of Christ, a believer. The baptism doesn't make them a Christian, but it is the important expression and the public confirmation that you are, in fact, a Christian. And so baptism signifies, it illustrates our identification and our union with Christ. Now, the second thing which baptism signifies or illustrates is our incorporation, our inclusion into the body of Christ, which is the church. We see this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. There Paul writes, "For we were all baptized by or in one spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jew or great or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink." So when we become a Christian, when we repent of our sins and put our trust in Jesus, we are given the Holy Spirit, and we are then incorporated or included into the body of Christ, which is the church. This happens at the very moment at which we begin to believe and repent, but the ceremony that recognizes that this change has happened is, in fact, baptism. Again, baptism is not what saves us, but it is the ceremony that signifies that we have been saved and that now we are a member of the church, not the local church, but the universal church, the church that is made up of all believers at all times and in all places. So in answer to our first question, what is baptism? It is a public demonstration of a person's commitment to follow Jesus. It is a visible sign of an invisible reality, and it signifies our identification and our union with Jesus, as well as our incorporation or our inclusion into the church. So that's what it is. Now, how do we do it here at DFBC? Almost all Christian churches and denominations practice baptism. But you may well know that we don't all do it the same way. We don't all agree on who we baptize or how it is that we baptize. Well, let's start with the who. Some churches baptize infants, at least infants who are born to Christian parents. We see this in Catholic churches or Lutheran churches, Reformed churches, and there are others as well. In fact, on April 19th, 2015, Dayton First Baptist Church conducted its first ever infant baptism. This made national news, but it wasn't us. That was Dayton, Ohio First Baptist Church. Seriously. Infant baptism is not something that we do here at Dayton, Oregon First Baptist Church. See, here at DFBC, we only baptize regenerate, confessing believers. In other words, Christians. People who have made a conscious, willful decision to follow Jesus. Oftentimes, this is called believer's baptism. Now, we certainly don't have anything against infants. We think babies are great. We encourage that. But we don't baptize anyone until they're old enough to decide on their own that they want to follow Jesus for themselves. And so we practice believer's baptism because this is actually what we find in Scripture, and this is what the early church did. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Paul delivers this amazing sermon to a crowd of people, to a huge crowd of people in Jerusalem. And he explains to them who Jesus is, and then he calls them to repent and to believe in Jesus. He writes, actually he said, and Luke, the writer of Acts, wrote, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off and for all that the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So some Christian churches baptize infants who are born to Christian parents. But what we see here in this text and in other texts in the New Testament is that it is the people who repent of their sins who are baptized. In the New Testament, it is believers who are baptized, and that is why as Baptists, we practiced believer's baptism rather than infant baptism. So that answers the question about who it is that we baptize. We baptize believers. But what about how we baptize? Some churches baptize by pouring water over the person. It's a picture of how the Holy Spirit washes and renews us. Other churches sprinkle the person being baptized with water. Sprinkling with water is actually associated with the new covenant in both the Old and the New Testaments. Other churches fully immerse the person in water when they baptize somebody. Well, again, here at DFBC, we look to the Bible for direction on this. And what we find as we read in the New Testament, we see that the New Testament church baptized believers by immersion in water. Let me make four quick points about that. First, the word itself for baptism, it's in the Greek, it's baptizo, it literally means to plunge, to dip, or to immerse. This is exactly how the word is always used in the Bible. In fact, it's also, if we look at other literature from the time of the Bible, but not in the Bible, that's exactly how the word is used then as well. And so it never means sprinkling or pouring. It always means to immerse. Secondly, when Jesus was baptized, it was by immersion. In Mark 1, 9 to 11, it says, "At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Third, virtually all scholars and commentators agree that the New Testament church, when they baptized people, they always did it by immersion. Even scholars who are part of churches or denominations that baptize infants rather than, even scholars who are part of denominations or churches that baptize infants by sprinkling will actually agree that in the first century, this is how the church did it. They did it by immersion. And then lastly, we need to remember what it is that baptism fundamentally illustrates. It illustrates our identification with Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. And lowering a person into the water and then raising them up again is a much clearer illustration of this than sprinkling them or pouring water over them. And so unless there are special circumstances which make it difficult or even impossible for a person to be baptized by immersion, what we do here at DFBC is we baptize people by full immersion in water. So how do we baptize here at DFBC? We baptize believers, and we baptize by full immersion. But that still leaves us with the most important question that we need to answer. And that is this: why do we baptize people? Why is baptism such a big deal? Is baptism such a big deal? And if it is, why is it such a big deal? Well, the answer to that is pretty simple. Jesus tells us that we are both supposed to be baptized and that we are supposed to baptize other believers. There are two ceremonies that Jesus has told his followers to continue to practice until he returns one day. He's told us to practice the Lord's Supper together as well as baptism. And these are practices that the church has continued to do for the last 2,000 years. The Lord's Supper is something that Jesus has told us to celebrate regularly. So here at DFBC, we do that at least once a month. We'll be actually celebrating the Lord's Supper next Sunday. Baptism is something that each and every believer is supposed to do once in their life. And we schedule a baptism anytime that there's somebody in our church who wants to be baptized. So why are Christians supposed to be baptized? Why do we baptize people here at DFBC? We do it because Jesus tells us to. And it is a privilege for us to get to do this. Certainly that is the case. But it's also a matter of us obeying Jesus. Jesus calls on all of his followers to be baptized. And baptizing believers is one of the responsibilities that the church has been given to do. In fact, I would suggest to you you're not fully being a church, as it's described in the Bible, if you're not baptizing people. Well, Jesus, right after his death and resurrection, just before he returned to heaven, Jesus said to his followers these well-known words: "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so baptism is a practice that Jesus has directed his followers to participate in. It is something which the church is supposed to do. And it is something which all followers of Jesus are supposed to do. And so if you are a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, and you haven't been baptized, then as your pastor, I ask you the question, why? Why not? Now, perhaps it's just that you didn't understand about baptism, what it is, why it's important. And if that's the case, I hope that our time this morning has helped answer some of those questions for you. But if you have more questions about that, I would be more than happy to talk to you more. Or maybe you didn't think that baptism was something that was for you. But if you are a follower of Jesus, it is for you. It is something which Jesus is calling you to do. And again, if you have questions about that, I would be more than happy to talk to you about it sometime. Well, this morning, we're not just going to talk about baptism, we get to celebrate it together. So this is a special day for our church family because we have a member of our church family who wants to be baptized. And so, Tabitha, come on up. Several weeks ago, Tabitha let me know that that she was wanting to be baptized, and so I got together with her and her parents and just talked about what it means to follow Jesus, and we talked about why it is that she wanted to be baptized, and I can assure all of you that Tabitha loves Jesus and wants to follow him, and she wants to be baptized in order to make that commitment public and to obey Jesus in doing that, and so we get to do that this morning together. So, let's go.